Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're learning about how to wait on the Lord. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 17 for a message called God Seldom Early, Never Late, as we go back to basics.
As we saw in our previous study, of course, we know that God had given a promise to Abram. He'd given him the promise of a seed, given him the promise of descendants that would be more in number than the stars. And we saw how Abram sought to help God out a bit. And thus, at the suggestion of Sarai, his wife, he took Hagar, her handmaid, and she conceived and bore Ishmael. And all this happened when Abram was 86 years old. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless." 13 years have been passed over in silence. It's pretty astounding. 13 years is quite a period of time, really. What was going on during those 13 years? What was Abram doing? Was there a silence from the Lord because of Abram's blunder in trying to help God out? Perhaps there was. Perhaps it was a time when God was just working in a more personal way in Abram's life to refine him. We don't really know. But it is interesting to me to think about this. We have here in Genesis, we have 100 years of the life of Abram recorded. Of course, he lived 175 years, but we know his call from God came to him at the age of 75. So we pick up the story when he's 75 years old, and then he lives to be 175. So we've got a 100-year period of his life recorded. But yet, if you think about it, there's so few things that are really touched upon in those 100 years. Most of his life is not really chronicled for us. The daily activity, for the most part, is just passed over. And what we have are, you know, certain key moments and, you know, certain encounters with God that would be significant for, you know, the overall picture of what God would do in and through his life. But for the most part, it seems that he would have lived a relatively uneventful life. He would have, like most people, just got up in the morning, got out of bed, had his devotions, and gone off into, you know, the activity of the day. And just in that context, he would serve the Lord. Something that I find interesting to think about with this man, Abram or Abraham, you know, he wasn't an evangelist per se. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a missionary, really. You know, he didn't have a designated ministry title. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't necessarily a prophet, although to some extent he was. But, you know, he was, in many ways, he was just an ordinary person who lived, apart from these great promises and occasional encounters with God, who lived a relatively normal life. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that that, you know, really is the case for most people. Most of us will live relatively uneventful lives. But it's in just the mundane things, it's in just the daily routine that we are called to walk with the Lord, that we're called to fellowship with the Lord and grow in the Lord. Now, you know, some people, they live for the moment. They've got to have constant excitement in their lives. No downtime at all. You know, it's got to be just one thrill to another. Now, if you try to approach your spiritual life like that, or if you have that mentality in regard to your spiritual life, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to be thoroughly disappointed, because that just isn't the way it works, or you're going to try to force something to happen and end up getting yourself out into all kinds of weird types of things spiritually. You know, there are those people who, for them, in their, you know, thinking process and their perspective on their walk with the Lord, you know, unless they have had an angelic visitation a day, unless they've seen two or three miracles equivalent to the parting of the Red Sea, unless, you know, there's just been some dynamic spiritual type of a thing going on, you know, they're disappointed and they're feeling down and they're feeling like God's not working. But that's a trap. And that is something that we have to be careful not to fall into. And I can think of people over the years who have had that, you know, that craving for something new and exciting all of the time. And that has been the very thing that has led certain people off into false teachings and bizarre kinds of practices. You know, some of the things that get passed off for the work of God or the moving of the Holy Spirit, it's just unbelievable to me that anybody would think that something so absurd would be God. You can go on YouTube and you can type in hissing prophetess. And you can see some young lady hissing like a snake, supposedly under the influence of the Spirit and supposedly prophesying. And you can find people doing the nuttiest things imaginable and attributing them to God. But you see, it's because they haven't accepted the fact that God has called us primarily to just, you know, in the routine of life, just to faithfully walk with Him. I remember years and years ago, I read where John Wimber, who was at that time leading the Vineyard movement, he gave God an ultimatum. And the ultimatum was either, God, you start showing up and, you know, healing the sick and, you know, giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and, you know, raising the dead. You either show up and start doing this stuff or we're going to quit. And then you know, that's part of his testimony. He goes on to say after he gave God that ultimatum, God showed up and began to move in these, what he would refer to as extraordinary types of ways. But I think that most would agree that that wasn't God moving at all. In a sense, I think he kind of tempted the Lord and gave an opportunity for the enemy to come in. And the things that they began to experience that they would then say, well, this is the Holy Spirit moving. You can't find anything like that in the scripture. You can't find any of those kinds of behaviors or activities associated with the Spirit in scripture. It got to the point where people in the services were laughing hysterically. They were supposedly experiencing holy laughter. And then they went a bit further and they people were barking in the Spirit. And then they were quacking in the Spirit. And they were oinking in the Spirit. And you had sort of a spiritual farm kind of a thing going on. I mean, this is going on in churches. And here's the reason that I'm addressing it. Of course, Wimber's long gone. But that kind of thing is still with us. It's still happening. And there's groups all over the country where this kind of bizarre type of behavior is going on. But it's driven by this desire to, I've got to see God do something. And you know, God's got to move and he's got to work. And this hunger for the spectacular. These guys never would have survived in Abraham's sandals. They would have never made it. Because there were long periods of time where he, like the rest of us, was called to just simply just plod along with the Lord. Be careful about that kind of mentality. You know, sometimes people, you know, they're looking for a moving of the Holy Spirit. And what that translates into in their mind is there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of excitement. There's, you know, tongues and prophecies and things like that. And if they come into a gathering like, say, we're having here tonight, and you know, they sit and they sort of observe and they don't see any of that, they walk out and they falsely conclude, oh, well, the Spirit's not moving over there at Calvary Chapel. Well, the Holy Spirit, I trust, is moving, but those false spirits that stir up that kind of a thing, no, thank God that's not happening. Because that doesn't do anything for anybody. It's a momentary charge, and then it's over. And the problem, of course, with that is it's sort of addictive. You've got to come back every couple of days to get your new fix, and things have got to get more sensational and more spectacular to keep people coming back over and over again. All of those things ultimately implode and die away. But the sad thing is there's a ton of wreckage in the wake of these kinds of things. So I think just looking at Abram's life, there's a lesson in just this period of time in which he walked with the Lord. A few really powerful, critical encounters with God, supernatural kinds of things, definitely. But the majority of the time was spent just like we would spend the majority of our time. I think I could probably count on my one hand the times where I've had those real dramatic kinds of encounters with the Lord. You know, where God, you know, appears to you, so to speak, not literally, I haven't seen him, but, you know, he speaks to you in such a way that although it probably wouldn't go down as an audible voice, it might as well have been, because it was that powerful. But that's not the daily experience. That's not something that happens all the time. I'd like it to happen more. But, you know, those things are up to the Lord. So here we have a 13-year period of silence. But then the Lord appears to him and exhorts him to walk before him and to be blameless. Now, it does seem to me that there's probably a connection here with this exhortation and with the blunder that Abram had committed in taking Hagar and, of course, producing Ishmael. So God is exhorting him. He's, I would say, even rebuking him mildly. But he's reminding him, as we pointed out previously, that he is God Almighty. You know, much of the Christian life, believe it or not, like it or not, amounts to waiting. How many of you like the idea of waiting? Anybody like that? I'm not really fond of waiting. But you know, much of the Christian life is, it's about waiting. What are we all doing right now? We're all waiting for the Lord to return, right? And that's the way it's been. Much of it is about waiting. Because, you see, what we forget is that God is more interested in who I am as a person and building godly character in me than what I can do for him as a servant. Now, serving the Lord is a wonderful thing, and it's a great privilege, and it's an important thing, but it is secondary to just that personal relationship that I have with God, where he is working in my life as an individual human being, refining me, purifying me, dealing with me, and ultimately transforming me more and more into the image of Christ. That's the main thing that's going on. And you know what that takes? It just takes time. It takes a lot of time. And it takes experience. And it takes difficulties and challenges and struggles and the necessity of depending on the Lord. How do we grow in faith? Well, beside faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we grow in faith by experiences. We have experiences, and as we go through these experiences, we learn to trust God from experience to experience. And as we pointed out with Abraham, this is what we see. Here's a man who is on a faith journey, so to speak. He's a man of faith. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows that in the end, Abraham is going to be a faithful man. But we've seen that he's sort of, you know, stumbling a bit on the way to that place of perfected faith. But that's just the way it works, because, you know, we do stumble, but we get up and we keep moving on. And I think this word, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, this is really the Lord's word to all of us all the time. Whether or not there's any big event before us, whether or not there's any great spiritual encounter that's just around the corner, or, you know, some people are just, you know, waiting for the next big revival, and then they're going to get it together. You know, then they're going to get filled with the Spirit. Then they're going to be joyful. But we don't have to wait for that. God says, today, in the present, walk before me and be blameless. And that's what we're all called to do, to just walk before him, to walk humbly with our God, to walk in submission to him and in obedience. And so the Lord says in verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, Abram fell on his face. Now, this is a recurring kind of an experience that the servants of God have. Falling on one's face before God. You sense with this that Abram is just, he's just overwhelmed with the presence of God, with the glory of God. Probably with understanding the mercy of God. But I want to ask this question, not in an accusatory way or in a condemning way, but I want to ask the question, how often do we fall on our face before God? You know, isn't it true that we have become, in our generation, I think we've become so familiar, so casual in our approach to God, and to some extent a bit trite in our understanding of Him, that, you know, this idea of falling on our face before the Lord, this is something that is just almost unthinkable. And occasionally when it does happen, you know, maybe somebody is really overwhelmed with the love, the power, the grace, the mercy of God or whatever, and, you know, there they go down on their face. You know, a lot of times we're looking around like, hey, you know, what's going on with this person? What's the matter with them? Where are the ushers? Why they need to get this guy under control. You know, what has happened to us to where that seems like such a bizarre, foreign kind of a thing? I think it really has to do with our rather trite, sometimes, perspective on who God is. And here, as Abram falls on his face, no doubt he's falling on his face because he's having one of those moments of major, you know, revelation and realization as to just who God is. You think of how Peter had a similar kind of an experience when it suddenly struck Peter that Jesus was more than just a man. You remember he had been fishing and had caught nothing, and then the Lord said, you know, cast the net on the other side, and they had this large net full of fish they were pulling in. And it says that Peter, when he saw all of this happening, it says that he fell down before Jesus at his knees, and he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You see, Peter had that same sort of a thing happening right there. There was a realization of who Jesus was. And this is the kind of thing that I think really we would all of us be better off spiritually if we had more of these, you know, types of experiences where we're having that kind of realization of who it is that we're dealing with in this relationship that we have with the Lord. I think it's just part of our culture. As our cultures become casual about everything, it's sort of drifted into the church, and we've become, I think, a bit too casual. I think there's also the other extreme that you can go to, and, you know, with some people, you know, their whole perspective of God is a heavy perspective, and, you know, it's sort of a, they're sober-minded to the extent that they have no joy or any of that. So there's a balance in this. But there are those moments, and I think this is clearly one of them, where there isn't really much forethought to it. This is just where you go. And so Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer, boy, I'm glad we finally got to this. No longer shall your name be called Abram. So here God changes Abram's name. Abram means exalted father. He changes it to Abraham, which means father of a multitude.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called God, Seldom Early, Never Late, and the resource number is B0030. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.